PFT Media.
Welcome to Orlando Opinions. My name is Mark Baratelli. I'm the editor of the Daily City. If you're used to our normal Daily City news updates, this is different. I give opinions. Sometimes they're negative, sometimes they're positive, but it is not neutral. So we're going to be all over the place today, and I promise I won't take up much of your time. I want to give a big fuck you to the motherfucker who designed and renovated... This is two projects. So let's start with project number one. Who renovated the shopping center at the corner of Michigan and Orange in Soto. This is where Shaka Donuts is going in. I'm excited about Shaka Donuts. And I'm always excited when a developer wants to redevelop an existing building and reuse it for its original purpose. But I have to say... And you never know whose fault it is. So I'm not blaming anybody, but the outcome is real fucked up. Like, the shopping center I'm talking about is at the corner of Orange and Michigan. And it used to look like a 1960s shopping center. It's probably got 4 to 5 shops. And it used to have an overhang and very large parking spaces. And it just looked like a tiny 60s specific mid-century shopping center. And I'm not saying it was the classiest, nicest, most, the best example of mid-century modern architecture, but when you looked at the building, you could definitely tell, oh, this is of an era. Now you look at it and it looks like, oh, this building could be anywhere in the United States. I do want to say that I do, what I like about it is the use of stone. It's gray and it's white, and I like the material. And I don't think that the building looks bad, but to go from sort of an authentic feel, a building that looked like it had some history, and rather than sort of restoring it, you know, because you could like replace all the windows, replace the roof, replace everything, but still leave certain aspects of the building, like the poles that held up the awning, and give it kind of like, okay, this is, we have renovated it. It looks half new, half old. We acknowledge that the past happened. Or you could do what they did, which was saw everything off and create a box. It looks like hell to me, in my opinion. And every time I turn the corner, I remember the old building. But I don't want to be one of those curmudgeonly people who are like, it's not about that you changed it, because it's okay for change. I like change. It's just a disrespect of what was there. You took a building that had personality and removed 100% of it and turned it into a totally different building. You might as well have knocked the whole thing down. And I think that, I mean, ultimately, the corner is such a busy corner. No one's going to care but me. But, I mean, you care, and we care, and there's people who do care about what the hell their city looks like. Number two, the building that gets a big fuck you is the building next door. Okay, so at the true corner of Orange and Michigan, there used to be this old gas station. I think it was a Shell. They knocked it down. They built a building. What I like about it, it's one story, and it's shoved up to the street, and it has a sidewalk, so the walls are next to the sidewalk and next to the road, and they've just planted palm trees. But it's like they're putting in a mathnasium, or it's where you take your kids to learn math. I'm what are we trying to do? I mean, like, in some parts of downtown Orlando, there's this huge effort to create these enclaves, these main street districts. And then you have these other efforts of these developers who are like, Main Street who? You know, at the busiest intersection, you want to put a mathnasium? That's the kind of business you want to look... I don't like it. I don't, and number two, it will never have, not that like the end all be all goal of Orlando is to have every single business be local, but we all know that local business is great. That building that they built, the rent, I can guarantee you that it will never be at a rent that can be rented by a local business. So it will never be anything of charm. And a lot of these built, and if you look at Sodo, that is what Sodo is kind of becoming in this stretch. They're these one-story buildings with 1 to 3 spaces. They all look the same. And almost all of the resident or the renters are chains. And I get it. You know, you're a developer. Your job is to make money. And you want the company that can afford to give you the 15-year, 20-year guarantee, who can afford to pay the high rent. You're trying to make the most money. And obviously what you do is you damage the city. Because some of these developers, and I'm not saying the specific ones I'm talking about, they develop all over the country. So they're just shitting out these little businesses. They're just shitting out these buildings all over the country. And they don't have to live here. And we're the ones that are stuck with it. So, like, if you drive around town with me, it's not a fun time because I have a lot of opinions, hence the name of the show. Okay, Wally's Bar has opened. This is our next story. Wally's Bar is open. I gotta be honest, I'm not a Wally's person. Wasn't on my radar. I was dragged there by some friends for a celebration probably 5 years ago that I shared an office space with, and I went in and I was like, everyone's drinking during the day and it was dark and it smelled like smoke. And I'm like, why am I here? And I get the kitsch factor, but I wasn't really into it. So I wasn't a fan, but I posted about it a few weeks ago and it was a huge post. I mean, it had like 800 likes on Instagram. And so I said, oh, okay, people care about this. All right. So I went in and tried to get... I think I told this story already. I went in and I talked to the decorator and he was super nice. Well, anyways, the day of the opening came and I walk in and I'm just there to like be the weirdo who comes in, takes pictures and video and leaves. I'm not there to socialize. I actually have to run an errand afterwards, which I will get to later. The interior is really nice. It still maintains that dark, dank feel. Like you walk in and you're like, oh, this is, you know, but you know it's clean because it's been renovated. They have the titty wallpaper. It's there. It's kind of in the background. They had to remove some and they hung a mirror because it was damaged. And they sell t-shirts and, you know, I walked in but the decorator walked up to me, remembered me from when I banged on their door and said, hey, give me a picture of the wallpaper like a month ago. And he was real nice. He told me, I don't remember what he said, but it was, he made me feel welcomed. He made me feel welcomed. I felt special. Congratulations to Wally's. I won't be back. Not because I don't like it, but it's just not my scene. I don't know. Maybe I'll go back and try it. I just feel like I'm not cool enough. There's these bars in town that are so cool that I walk in and I go, oh, no, 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 no. I'm a Walmart and I just walked into a Target. No, I need to leave. And I feel like the people inside are like, oh, you need to leave. I sense that. Anyways, it's not fun to beat up on yourself. I am enough. I am good. I'm fine. I'm a good person, even at Wally's. All right. So story number three is I got there's this account called Macrame Mama on Instagram, and it's run by someone named Victoria, who I recently learned goes by Tori. I had no idea. Her name is Victoria, and she's been very nice to me. She's kind of dragging me out, getting coffee every now and then, kind of getting me out of my hole that I live in. And one of her dragging me out of my hole things was she gave me a free ticket to Bite Night, which is an event put on by Orlando Weekly, and it's where restaurants you pay an admission and they hand you free sample size food, and then there's all you can drink alcohol. And I had a great time. I really don't get out that often anymore. I thought it was by choice. Like I did. I feel like the narrative, the story that I tell myself is that I got out there, I used to be a blogger and I used to move and shake and try to get to know everybody and raise up in the ranks. And then I kind of fell off, and now I'm kind of like, okay, I'll be, you know, I'll be over here in the corner. It's okay. I'm not, but the, so I don't really go out. But this was like, it was like the old days. Like there was, I knew a couple people. I said hello, and we chatted, and we were snarky, and we drank. It was so good to like get out, and I kind of was like, maybe, you know, maybe I'll do this again. Maybe I'll. But seriously, the other thing was like that. I want to learn how to put on events like that because I was kind of like doing the math. No, I don't do the math in my head. I was doing the like business idea or plan in my head. So like I think that the restaurants who are giving away the free food, they have to pay to be there maybe. And then the alcohol, I don't know where that comes from, but the people pay to get in, and I'm over here doing a farmer's market with free admission and very low vendor fees. And I'm like, well, I think I'm in the wrong business. But I love farmer's markets. So I was grateful to get to go see that type of event and then go kind of put a notch in my bedpost, not up to put a notch in the bedpost of my mind and go, maybe I'll charge $35 to get into my farmer's market. Maybe that'll be a smart thing to do. I think so. And finally, I want to tell you, I have a big fuck you to Waldorf Astoria Hotel. So picture it, Sicily. It's my anniversary and I make reservations for Waldorf Astoria. Now, I'm not a foodie. I don't care what I eat. And I don't care that you know that I don't care what I eat. I'm not you. I'm me. I'm a grown-ass woman. So, but my boyfriend, my life partner, my gay guy, he likes food and he likes to go out to eat. And so I was like, okay, well, we're going to go somewhere special. And where he likes, what he loves is Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. That is the end-all be-all for him. He loves the food. He loves the atmosphere. And I actually like the atmosphere. It's very rare that I feel comfortable in a restaurant because the atmosphere is always off. There's always something wrong. But this place I like. But I thought, oh, no, this is special. This is the five-year anniversary. So let's go above and beyond. Let's not do Ruth's Chris. Because I pictured, like, when you go into Ruth's Chris at the Winter Park location, it's pretty on the inside. And you do, once you get in, you are in. It's like kind of like you step back in time. It feels like you're in New York a little bit. I think there's some red carpet and it's real dark. But like I just pictured, the reason I chose not to go there is because you just drive up into that old janky parking lot that's shared with a Starbucks and shared with the Winter Garden Village. And how special is that? I thought, well, let's go do something special. Let's drive 30 to 40 minutes. So we did. So I made the reservations and we got all our stuff together. Magically, we were able to align our schedules and wear dress clothes. And it's all going good. We get there on time. We pull up towards the hotel, and there's valet, and it's free if you're going to eat there. We're going to eat there, so I was like, okay, we'll do valet. The first valet person sees us, acknowledges our presence in our car, flags us forward, kind of like if you were getting your oil changed. And the person waving you in was also talking on a cell phone. They weren't talking on a cell phone. But the other person was, like, talking to two other people. And, like, you really weren't, you know, important. You're, like, just one of the herd. That's how this Waldorf Astoria valet person acted. Now, I'm going to tell you right now. I am not a... what do they call that website? Yelp. I'm not a Yelp person. I don't sit here and give you all my opinions and talk about this restaurant. And I don't do that. I'm talking to you about this experience, this one experience. I don't know if that made any sense, but so number one, my first experience with this dinner, with this five-year anniversary, with this let's go 45 minutes, 30 minutes out of the way, let's not go to Ruth's Chris, is a guy who's waving us in. And, you know, how Waldorf Astoria was that moment? Not good. All right. So like, we pull up, the car, the door opens because somebody opens it, and there's a second valet guy, and he looks at me like, oh, Jesus, another one of you, you know. And he said, you're here for dinner? And I said, yeah. And he said, Bull and Bear? And I said, yeah. He said, you're going to have a good dinner. Okay. They screwed up something with the ticket. We didn't get a ticket. We were given a ticket. Where is the ticket? Who's getting the ticket? We walk. Okay, so that was not fun. Like, it's the Waldorf Astoria. It's the Waldorf. I'm telling you, I'm not going to a Kroger. Where is the train? Like, where's the training? Like, I do have an expectation, because literally Bull and Bear is one of the most expensive restaurants in Orlando. So yes, I am going to have expectations. I do not have expectations when I go to cheaper restaurants, but I do here. And so far, fail. Like, I don't feel like I could have gotten this treatment at Ruth's Chris. I could have gotten this. Well, they're probably actually nicer. I could have gotten this anywhere. So why did I drive this way? Okay, so I'm already, So we walk up to the door, which has to be opened by a human being, a doorman. Holy shit, this man wanted to die right there. Wanted to commit suicide. Wanted us to know about it. The eyes were so sad. And here's the thing. I am not saying negative things about hourly employees. This is not shading these people. I am shading the management who is letting these people act this way. Why is this person so sad looking? I'm coming in. I'm a guest. You have to have some kind of training where, like, you make eye contact and you smile and you, like, you have some way of fake. Because obviously none of these employees give a shit about anybody. I've been there. I understand. I know. Just fake it. Not even an attempt to fake it. He wanted to commit suicide. I saw the rope around his neck. He was like, just let me get to my break so I can go hang myself from the fire extinguishers, because this life is real bad. So that was my third interaction. So we walked through the door and I'm like, okay. So I'm already in the mental state. We turn left to walk down the hallway, which is not what I wanted to do. To get to Bull and Bear, you can walk down the little hallway, which is not little, or you can walk through the pretty bar, and the pretty bar is worth walking through because there's not many pretty interiors in Orlando, and this is worth seeing. The chairs are very good. Everything is good about that room. So we get to the restaurant. The lady at the Bull and Bear is professional and nice, and I'm like, okay, here we go. Here's where the magic happens. Here's where the unexpected, over the top, you're special, you're paying a lot of money moment happens. So she seats us at our table, and I'm like, okay, all right, here we go. Well, this motherfucker comes up to our table and shoves a wine list in our face that's digital, that's a book that's digital. And I swear, this can't be true. This can't be true because it's inhuman. But I think he stood there, didn't ask us why we're there, didn't ask us what's the special occasion, didn't, because I fucking told this restaurant when I made the reservations, it's our 5-year anniversary, didn't say congratulations. I mean, these are things like, you know, Olive Garden can do, any restaurant can do, none of that. This bitch picks up a menu and he is standing above me. You know how servers can be. And this guy wasn't a server. He was like a maitre d', head waiter, I don't know, salesperson is what he was. He held the menu up and for 10 minutes tried to sell us on $100, $140 bottles of wine, and just went right into why each of these three specific wines that he chose to tell us about were so good. We didn't ask for wine. We didn't tell him what type. Finally, he asked us what type of wine we did like, and then he turned to that page. But I got the feeling of, wait a minute, this is fancy pants time, and you are upselling me already? There's no bread on the table. I don't have a water. I don't have a cocktail. Obviously I don't have a cocktail. I don't have nothing. I have a blank bare table, and immediately upselling me. Fuck you. I'm like, this is not going well. The food comes out, and we get a bottle of wine. That's fine. And the food comes out, and the fish, do not order the fucking fish at Bull and Bear, because Bull and Bear don't give a fuck about fish. This piece of fucking fish I could have gotten at Publix. It was pure white. My boyfriend swears to Christ that it did have a smoky flavor, but I will tell you, it tasted like eating hot snow. Nothing. Air. Flavorless cotton candy. And I'm like, God damn it. I've sat through this. And the meal is fuck. The meal is shit. And I'm like, God damn it. Why didn't I just go to fucking Ruth's Chris? Why am I fucking here? So I'm like disappointed. And at this point, I'm just, my shoulders are down. I kind of go into my, as my friend said, I'm on the spectrum. This just, like, I just shut down emotionally because I'm so, because here's the thing. I'm disappointed, number one, right? And it's your anniversary, so you don't want to go and complain because it's a special time. Because it's sometimes when I complain, people get embarrassed. And then number two, through number three, so you're like, okay, you can't say anything. And then number three, you're like, well, maybe I'm wrong. You're doubting yourself. So all three thoughts that I was telling myself was, there's no way you can express yourself, and everything you're thinking is could potentially be wrong. Finally, I say, I'm going to tell the waiter about the fish. And I tell him about the fish, and he says, do you want me to bring you another one? Do you want me to he offered to give me a fried chicken to go. And I thought, fried fucking chicken? We just sat here and had a meal, and like, you, but I get it, because like, what I ordered was the cheap shit. It's a $40, well, to them, on their fucking menu, a $40 piece of fish is the, one of the least expensive. And that's not why I ordered it. I ordered it because I wasn't feeling steak. I didn't come to this dinner to eat steak. I don't care about steak. I don't care about food, but I have to order something because I'm stuck here. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll eat something because I want to be full. I had to order the goddamn fish. So he offers me the fried chicken, and I'm kind of one of those people who are like, I'm not here to get anything free, so I say no. I should have said yes, because it's, I'm like, ugh. And then, anyways, long story short, it was terrible, and I'm going to go back, and I'm gonna say something to the hotel, and I probably shouldn't even share it here, but it's about service. You go out of your way to go to a place that purports, or I had the image of being above and beyond, and it was not, and it's your fifth anniversary, and you don't want to cause a scene. And maybe I overreacted and just kind of, I blame myself for everything, but it was terrible. And so someone was like, oh, you should go and tell them your experience. But I'm like, no, so I'm going to go in and tell you my experience so you can improve your business and it gets better. Well, okay. So then I walk away and, oh, good. I've done you a favor. You know, like, I don't know. I don't want to go back. I'm not going back. Thank you for listening to Orlando Opinions. My name is Mark Baricelli. If you want non-opinion opinions or non-opinion stuff, go listen to our other show on this same feed called The Daily City. And always use our hashtag, except when you're talking about the Waldorf Astoria, hashtag Orlando is wonderful.
A PFT Media production.